I wouldn't serve a God that wouldn't come see about me every now and then. Last week, we preached on taking the offense. This week, we are going to speak to you on the weapon of prayer. God has provided us with spiritual weapons. We're going to talk about four of them. We're going to just talk about prayer today. Next Sunday, a message will be on praise. The Sunday after that will be on preaching. The fourth Sunday will be on testimony. Prayer is much more than a weapon. There are many different aspects of prayer. One of them is prayer is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Prayer to me is probably the most powerful of all the weapons that God have granted us to use. Think of prayer as an IBM weapon. Intercontinental ballistic missile. This is a missile that you can launch in one continent, and it goes all the way to another continent. Have you ever had a prayer that you sent somewhere else? This just proves that God is in more places than where you are. Heat sensing. The heat comes from what you are sending the prayer toward. And it's directed there, and it just keeps right on going until it finds the target. There is no limitation in the time or the distance of prayer. Oh, don't you think bad about me because I said that about me. Because if Mama and Papa hadn't prayed for you, when you were not praying for yourself, where would you be? Wherever you were, they prayed for you. And you got the answer. Let me tell you a little story starting off with. There was this missionary who was at a place in Africa, and he was given a car to run. And the other missionary told him, said, there's something wrong with the car, said. It just does not seem to want to crank. So what you have to do, you have to leave it on a hill so it can crank rolling down the hill. Somebody know how you pop that clutch. Or, he said, you can leave it running if you don't plan to be there long. Said, and when you go to visit people, if they alone talk or say, you leave the car running. So you can tell them, well, I had to leave the car running, so I got to go. He said, or you can always park close to the school and make arrangements with the teacher to let a few of the boys out so they can push you and start your car. The missionary did that for 2 years on starting that car. Then his health got bad, and he had to leave. So when the new missionary come in to take his place, he was telling him about the car. He told him all that I just told you. And while he was talking to him, the missionary walked to the front of the new guy, walked to the front of the car, and popped the hood. Under the hood, and he just looked at the battery and got him a wrench and tightened up the lugs on the post of the battery. While he's still telling him, he got in the car and turned the ignition and cranked right up. Don't y'all fall off here now. Because if you fall off here, I'm going to have to come back and get you. Don't you try to find me. If you fall off, you just stay right there. I'll be back. This man had been handicapped because he did not know what he had. He did not know to use the tools that God had given him. Baggett, why are you telling us that? That's just the way. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's the way we do prayer. We put prayer on the shelf until something happens, and then when something happens, I go and I dial up prayer. This man had for 2 years had been having to get people to help him when all he had to do was just look at what he had and fix it. That's what some of us got to do with our lives. We got to look at our lives and we got to fix it. Sometimes all you got to do is just tighten up one bolt and then turn the ignition and it'll crank. We got to learn that we need to do something ourselves. We do not need to depend on God to do everything. Point number one. I think I just got 3 or 4 or 5. Point number one. In the passage of scripture that was read in your hearing, point number one is there was the first political attack against the church. It had been about 8 years since Stephen's death and the first persecution against the church. But this persecution had been squelched by the hands of God. And God squelched it by converting the arch persecutor of the church. All of you know him, called Saul of Tarsus. But throughout those 8 years, the feelings against the church had been growing until it reached a peak where people or the rulers had gotten tired of what the church was doing. Don't you feel bad towards those rulers? You got some today that are in position of authority don't like what the church is doing. But you got to stay right there. Herod, the ruler that we're talking about, was a shrewd politician. He saw an opportunity to please the Jews by persecuting and seeking to destroy the church. He persecuted in the church and he killed a man by the name of James. And in doing this, he saw that it pleased the Jews. So, being the type of person that he was, he said, I got to look out for myself. And looking out for himself, if I persecute those people that call themselves Christians, yes, yes. If I do that, that'll keep the Jews quiet. And it will keep them supporting the Roman politicians. You do know that the Jews were not in favor of Christianity. Those that were locked up in their separatism and their keeping everybody else out. Sadducees and Pharisees wanted to stay in charge. Now, I'll say it again. Don't you feel bad towards them? Because we got some folks in the church now that don't want anybody else to come in. Just my four and no more. Keep mine. Keep everybody else out but mine. They wanted to keep rule in charge and be in charge themselves. So that would satisfy them. And Herod was trying to stay in power. You get people in the church, anywhere else, if they're power hungry, they're hard to deal with. They don't want rightness. They want myism. Herod wanted to solidify his own prestige and power with the authority of the Romans. He knew as long the Romans put him in there, he knew if he kept doing what the Romans wanted him to do, he'd be in charge. So he was looking just to satisfy them. Told you before, he had already killed James. Now in this passage of scripture, he got Peter in jail. Don't you think that because you're in this little church on 603 MLK, that the people in charge don't know that you're there? They're just like you. They may not be saying anything, but they know where you are. Because when God puts you a place, you cannot hide. He'll bring you out. So all you have to do is make sure that you are serving a true and a living God. Herod wanted to stay in power. So therefore, he did what he needed to do to please the Jews. Killed one, got the next one in charge, in prison. Minister Shy and Minister Allen, they kill me. You better look out. You are next. Deacons, don't you sit down there and laugh. Because you are next. They'll go through the whole shebang until they get them all. Or they get so scared that they won't do anything. They'll just let everything flow. And deaconess, don't you feel like you're out of the loop? Because you know we got Title IX in effect now. Females as well as males. If we discriminate against you and don't kill you, help the Holy Ghost. God will find you where you are and put you to work. But see, God's people will not move when things are comfortable. God have to get a stick and stir you up to make you move. Brother Seastrump and Brother Sardellette and Sister Harrison and Sister Gilbert, in the bottom of this bar is some residue from this substance that I mixed up. As long as I let it sit there, it'll stay. Why you tell us that? Because if y'all just let the God that you have gotten while you were at home, if you just let it sell and don't shake it up, the devil will get you. That's free. I didn't have that in mind. See, the bottom of this ball now is clear, but it shook it up. Something has to happen to you. And that's God's folks too. We get too comfortable. That's why every now and then, seems like all the trouble in the world rains on my house. And we be crying so bad because trouble just seemed to come my way. And God's getting you ready for something else, something better. Point number two. There was God's pattern for delivery. Well, y'all, I love this point number two. The pattern of prayer. This pattern of prayer was church-wide. You know, when somebody sung a song that said, we don't pray like we used to. The preacher don't preach like he used to. The members don't shout like they used to. And I got an answer for us. Is because we think that we have arrived. The devil have fooled us. He have put scales over our eyes. I'm glad you asked what scale. He have allowed us to go to other schools. He have allowed us to live across the track. He have allowed us to get jobs on the inside of the house, inside of the office, rather than cleaning up after everybody else leaves. He have deceived us with stuff. And we have walked away from God. We this afternoon in the choir union, Macedonia, when y'all walk in Lebanon, over in Baker, that little country town over there, as you walk in the door, look to your right. Upside the wall, you will see where it looked like if they haven't painted over somewhere. They covered up a hole where the pipes went through the wall. You know, we used to have them stove, them potbelly stoves, them potbelly heaters that heated. That's where the heater was. See, when we had those kind of things in church, we came to church. We brought the church with us when we came into church. Because why? Because we had been praying all the week. Prayer changes things. When you pray, it doesn't take as much physical food for you. You don't have to have a new dress at Easter. You could have a hand-me-down at Easter and it'll be just like new. When you pray, God fixes you. So everything will be all right. Prayer becomes a weapon. And you can use it to do whatever you need to do. But you got to pray. I don't mean y'all have to excuse me. I'm just mean. It doesn't mean that you. Thank you. Amen. No. You got to go down on your knees. And you got to stay there a while. Old folks say you gotta get on the mourner's bench. And you got to tear a little while. You got to do like who was that? Jacob. You gotta wrestle with him. And you can't wrestle, Brother Brunson, unless you get up close and personal. You gotta wrestle with God on some things. Because, brothers and sisters, I just stopped by to tell you that you got to pray. And if you pray and talk to this God that I am acquainted with, I promise you that he'll stop by and see about you. This is what happened to the church that Peter was a member of. Herod locked him up. But the church went into prayer. And they prayed. Now listen to me. James, one of their leaders, had been killed. Don't know whether they prayed when Brother James was in there or not, but God saw fit to take him on to glory. And ain't God good? God carried him on to glory. But here come old man Peter, and they lock him up. And the church went in prayer. And I stopped by to tell you, when the church go into prayer, God will hear his people, because you have dialed up his number, and you don't call anybody that you don't want them to answer. You call God. God will answer you. You might not think he's answering you, but he will start to see about you. And the church went into prayer. And when the church went into prayer, God answered. I just love God. When you read his word and you get down on the inside of it, I can see Brother Peter locked up in jail. Old man Herod had put some people to guard him and to watch him. The Bible says that Peter had been locked up two other times, but some kind of way he got out. But this time, Herod said, I'm going to keep him. I'm going to put some soldiers to guard him. Put some, four of them at a time on a 24-hour shift. The Bible tells me that night, I can just see Brother Peter laying down on his pallet with his head on his pillow. And the Bible says that on each side there was a guard right there with him. Ain't God all right? Sometime when your problem seems to have you down, I dare you for the church to go in prayer. When the church goes in prayer, it activates heaven. Heaven won't move unless the earth send up some prayers. You got to motivate. You got to let him know they prayed. I don't know. The Bible said they just prayed without ceasing. And that tells me that they did not stop. And as they were praying, they tell me that an angel come and smote him on the side. Smote him, just hit him. I don't know how hard it hit him, but it woke him up. And Peter woke up, and the angel said, arise, dress yourself. I need to stop right here and get you to hear what I'm going to say. The angel smote him and told him to rise up and dress yourself. Put on your sandals. Now listen, God will answer your prayer. But in God answering your prayer, there's some things that you need to do.
God ain't gonna do everything. He said, Peter, arise. If Peter would have stayed down there, he would have been there. But Peter was obedient. Angel said, arise. Gird yourself. Put on your sandals and walk out of here. If he would not have obeyed, there's a message there, and this is free. It's not in my message. It's from God. There's somebody. You've been praying to God, asking God for something. God have done his. Yeah, you know what's left, don't you? You got to do yours. If you don't do yours, it's not done. If Peter would not have arisen, got up, put on his sandals, and walked out, he'd have still been there. Whatever it is that you've been asking God for, it's done. But now, let me tell you this now. God is not a Santa Claus. You don't just make a wish list. You got to know him. If you don't know him up close and personal, you don't need to be asking him. You don't need to be asking him. We don't have any money in Regions Bank, do we? Okay. I ask her that question because you asking God for something and you don't know him? Just like me writing a check on Regions Bank. And she just told me we don't have any money in Regions Bank. So what are you saying? Don't ask him. If you don't know him, y'all, that is my wife, y'all. And you know, but now, you know, I don't know how to do anything but the way God showed me to do. But if you know him, now, I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know this brother, but when I see him again, he's an acquaintance of mine. I don't know him up close and personal in the physical, but I see in his spirit, I could get to know him. Amen. I could get to know him.
Amen.
Now, Brother Ball right here, I know him a little bit better. So I would call on him a little bit more than I would this brother right here because I know him. It's the same way with God. Thank y'all. But now this guy right here, I know him up close and personal. I could call on him anytime. That's why you saw me a while ago call him and give him my keys. I know him intimately, up close and personal. That's the way we need to be with God. God does not need to just be an acquaintance of yours, somebody you know in passing. But we pray to God when we are acquainted with him. He is an acquaintance of ours. No, you need to know him up close and personal. And y'all get mad with me on this one next week. May have been in church for 50 years and I still don't know him up close. Just because you attend church does not mean that you know God up close and personal. And there are some people that don't attend every time the church door is open. They know God up close and personal. But now let me tell those something. You're gonna need to get to be just like those others that come all the time. Because the more you show up, the more God gonna bless you. If you go to work for 5 hours a week, they're going to pay you for 5 hours. If you go 55, they're going to pay you for 55. The more you go, the more you get paid. But you got to work. You got to work. You got to do something. Peter heard the angel and he listened to him and he got up and walked out. Listen to me. Brothers, I hope I didn't embarrass y'all. I'm sorry. But God, to God be the glory. Listen. Peter, when the angels smote him and he got up and he started walking out, he walked out.
walk right by people that were there to guard him. Why are you emphasizing that point? Because in your life, there's some people that don't want to see you advance like you advance. God will let you walk right past them when you're going to get advanced. You just walk right past them. And see, when you walk right past them, you won't try to embarrass them or anything. You just speak to them just like you always do. Because the God that's on the inside of you won't allow you to do it. God will bless you in front of people that don't want you to be blessed, but you've got to walk with him. You got to be obedient. You have to do just what he said. And Peter, I imagine Peter, if he's like me, when you're going into your situation, you're not too observant. You don't know exactly where you're going. Peter had to follow the angel and go where the angel told him to go. So he followed him past the first guard and just kept right on walking. Got past the second one. He kept right on walking. Then he got him out in the streets. And the Bible says they came to a gate. And the gate opened without anybody touching it. I said, ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? God will open doors for you that nobody else seemed to be opening. And we think electronic opening just started happening. All you got to do is just read the Bible and you will find that God can do anything. He can open doors where there are no doors. He can open doors that other people have thought they have closed. But when you walk with God, God will do just what he said. God will open doors that nobody else can open. And when a door needs to be closed, if God closes the door, can't anybody open the door? But God will provide just what he need. Let me try to get on and finish, y'all. But then when Peter got outside and he walked down the street, the angel left him. See, God will take you so far and then you're on your own. But Peter had good sense, y'all. What Peter did, he went to church. Ain't God all right? See, sometime when God gets you out of something, the first place you need to go is to church to praise God. We might not be looking for you, but you ought to go anyhow. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that they were looking for Peter, because when Peter got there, he knocked on the door and the church wouldn't open the door. The church, I just believe, y'all, that they were still praying. They were praying to God after God had already answered the prayer. That tells me, too, that you don't ever need to stop praying. You can pray a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's already done. God, it haven't come yet, but it's on the way. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. That sorry husband haven't come to God yet. Sister, you ought to thank God. Be grateful that he's coming. Thank God that child that's out there in the world have not come home. Thank God for what is to come. Peter knocked on the door. Rhoda heard him and recognized his voice. Listen. The Bible doesn't tell us any time other that I've read where this young lady was around where Peter was. This tells me too, brothers and sisters, that those that come to worship with you know more about you than you think they do. She knew the voice of Peter on the other side of the gate. She knew his voice. She had heard him before. Why'd you stress that heard? Because we need to make sure that we have heard the word of God. We need to make sure that we got it in our mind the way the word of God sounds, that I have heard. Then she went and told them, and they didn't believe. But then she come back, and
They said, no, that must be his ghost. It ain't on him because he's in prison. Why you say that? Because they knew what had happened to James. See, you see, that's a strange thing to me about God, that he would let one die and let the other one live. When it come time for me to understand it, God will give me that understanding. But God knows what he's doing. God had something else for Peter to do. James had ran his course. Peter hadn't finished running his course. Brothers and sisters, my challenge to you is to run your own race. Don't try to run anybody else's. I need to get out your way. They were glad to see Peter. They were rejoiced to see him. But I just wonder sometimes, church folks, if we expect God to answer our prayers. We pray these prayers that we can see. There is a four-letter word, and if you add N-E-S-S onto it, it's boldness. And that's one thing church folks lack, L-A-C-K. We don't have. We don't have enough faith in God to be bold. He tells us to come boldly before the throne of God. Come boldly. Come boldly. We ought to be bold enough to ask God for some things that we think are impossible. My God is too big for any situation that I might have. So if he's too big for it, he ought to always be able, he can always answer. But you got to walk with him. You got to talk with him. And then if you do that, God will answer. You see, he answered their prayer while they were still praying. Yeah. And some of us, like I said before, he's answered your prayer, but you just don't believe that he can answer. I need to get through because I want to get to my conclusion so I can let y'all go. Verses 23-24 talks about, would be point number three. God's wrath on those that are against him. Verse 24 and 25 and 25. I didn't happen to read 25, but Herod had some relationships with other countries and people. And they wanted him to come make a speech and talk to them because they had done something wrong, so they were trying to butter him up, trying to make him make sure he'd leave them alone because they were dependent on him for something. And they had him down there to speak to them. And he was a great speaker. And they said, oh, that's not a man. That's a God. And he wouldn't tell them that he was not a God. And so what happened to him? Death came on him. He said, worms started eating him while he was yet alive. Why are you telling us that, Baggy? Because some of us, help me, Holy Ghost, some of us that are in ministry, we think it's all about me. But I stop to tell you, it ain't, and I know ain't might not be right, but it ain't about you. It's all about God. Because he would not give God the credit for what he had done. God allowed death to claim him. That's why I said so many times, don't see me. See the God. See God. Because God's the one that gives me the ability and the wisdom to do what I'm doing. If it was not for God, I could not do what I'm doing. And anybody that's in ministry that want to take credit themselves for what they're doing, you better stay away from them. And y'all don't need to just look at the preacher and the choir and the others. You need to look at yourself. I'm in my conclusion now, y'all, and I got more pages in my conclusion than I had in others, so y'all don't get in a hurry. In 1971, there was a young lady that became pregnant. And she was of the Caucasian race, and the young man that she was pregnant for was a black young man. And her family wanted her to abort the baby, and she would not abort the baby. She wanted to give birth to the baby. And she went to the big city and got on drugs before she could give birth to the baby. And in about her eighth month, she met a woman on the street. The woman was giving away New Testaments, and she talked to her about God and gave her a Bible. She started reading that Bible, and she started flipping through it, and she remembered one thing. She flipped through it. She was flipping through the Old Testament, and she kept seeing the word Israel. Israel. She kept seeing Israel. And so she gave birth to the baby, and they still wanted her to abort the baby, and she wouldn't. She got off of drugs, found a place to live, got a job, and sent her son to school. Before she got pregnant, she was an expert pianist. She was going to be a musician. This young man is Israel, who's the great Israel Horton, the musician that we all see. If you look at Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes, he's there doing music of praise because his mama prayed. And God answered her prayer. She didn't abort that baby. She let it be birthed. Brothers and sisters, the point that I'm trying to get you to see is that prayer changes things. And God does answer prayer. Some of us can't get God. God won't do anything for us because we just get the regular sizes of prayer all the time. Everybody else, if you go to Burger King or Wendy's or something, they always ask you if you want a super size. Get a bigger one than what you're getting. We need to start supersizing our prayer, asking God for bigger and better things that he can and provide for us. We need to supersize our prayer. We need to ask God to fulfill our highest hope and our dreams. Whatever your dream is, if you're dreaming big, dream for God. My mind goes to the prayer of Jabez. Jabez was a young man that was born, and his mother named him Jabez, which means here comes trouble. And Jabez prayed a prayer, and he said, Lord, bless me, and bless me indeed. Some of us want God to bless us, but we don't want him to bless us indeed. You need to ask him to indeed my blessing, Lord. Give me a blessing beyond what I'm asking. We need to dare to ask God to let us have those things that he needs for us to have so we can spread the word of God. We need to ask God for things. If you don't want him to do something, don't ask him. Don't act like you're scared to ask him. I didn't have this in there, but God keep bringing it to my mind. For 13 years, I was diabetic. In January the 2nd, I took my last diabetic medicine because I asked God. I said, God, I don't want to be a diabetic. In my spirit, I never did receive it. I always said, they say I'm a diabetic, but I'm not. And I thank God that he heard my prayer. And the doctors will tell you that you can't get rid of diabetes. But I stopped by to tell you the doctor might not can, but God can. God will provide just what you need. Don't take it. I took my last lactose pill on the 2nd of January and haven't had one since. Non-diabetic A1C is below 6. The last time mine was checked, it was 5.6. And I don't take any medication for it. God's a good God, y'all. You just got to pray and you got to believe that God can and God will answer your prayer when your needs are supplied. You need to keep stretching your faith. Some of us just want God to give us enough just to get by. I don't want to just get by. I want to have enough for somebody else. God is not a God of just enough. He's God of more than enough. God's a good God, y'all. And I love him. I love him. I love him. I'm trying to get through, y'all, but I got to let you know that God will answer prayer. I mentioned to you that Hannah cried out to God, and God heard her prayer. She prayed for a child, and God blessed her with a child. God will answer prayer. Samuel cried out to God in a prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Israel was in a predicament. The Philistine army had them surrounded, but they went into prayer, and the Bible says that God thundered. Ain't God all right? And it scared them away. God can do some amazing things in this world. Solomon cried out to God, and God heard his prayer. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. Solomon prayed to God about the house that he was going to build. And God told him, said, build a house, and I'll come and abide there. But it will be my house, not your house. Elijah cried out to God, and God heard him. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. So Elijah prayed, and God answered his prayer upon the mountain, where when he prayed and he put all in on the altar, and God came down. See, brothers and sisters, you got to believe. You got to have faith. If that marriage is on the rocks, give it to God. Give it to God. And I promise you that God will stop by to answer your prayer. Don't let the world stop you from praying. Pray in season and out of season. God will answer your prayer, but you got to know him. If you know him, he will. Listen to me. If you don't get anything else I say, get this. When you get to know God up close and personal, it says, ask what you will. Ask what you will. And he will provide it. He will provide it. But you got to expect God to. Don't ask him and think he can't do it. There's not anything that God can't do or he will not do for his children. If you're his child, God will answer your prayer. Now don't ask him for a job, and don't look in the won't ad section, and stay at home with your house coat on and your sad music. Don't stay home. If you want God to give you a job, go out looking for one, expecting God to give it to you. And to you young people that just graduated high school, scholarships are out there. But nobody's going to knock on your door and ask you if you want a scholarship. Get out there and try to get one. Same way with jobs. You too. Jobs, they're there. Well, we got to get out and find them. God have not changed. You remember, no more so your Sunday school people, you remember Exodus when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea? Didn't have no place to go, nowhere to go, nowhere to go. The Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them. Wait on God. Wait, I say. Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Moses. What's that you got in your hand? It's a rod, Lord. Well, use it. Stretch it out. And the old, I heard an old black theologian preacher said one time, he said, this is the only way I can understand the way God did. He said, God stooped down, got on his knees, put his right thumb on the right side of his ear, and just blew it out the left side of his nostrils. Saying just coming out of the left side of his nostrils was enough wind to part the Red Sea and to dry out the land. And I asked myself a question. I said, how could that happen? He just blow it, and anytime water leaves now, it leaves mud. And the Bible says they walked across on dry land. Prayer, y'all. Prayer. Prayer. I'm trying to quit, y'all, but if you think Sprint and Verizon got something, you ought to try dialing up heaven. And one thing I love about it, you won't get a bill. You won't get charged for too many minutes. You won't have roaming charges. You know, some of these phones, if you call out a certain area, you got roaming charges. You don't have that in heaven when you call up God. Just call him. Prayer is an offensive weapon that the church have that we do not want to use unless we get in a bind. When things are going well, you ought to pray. You ought to pray. Brother Doug and Sister Kelly, don't wait to pray until she get 13. Start praying now. I know you done already been praying, but pray. Pray. Don't wait. Don't wait till trouble comes. Pray before. And it will be easier to get through when the trouble do come. All right. Invitation. Listen to me. If you don't know God, this is your time.